Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Wole and Will T, the homie Ray Jeezy's out, but he'll be back on for another segment. And we are part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. What is going on, Will T?
Nothing much, man. Wednesday, 22nd. It's going to be a good night, 10 p.m. Snowfall.
Snowfall? I don't watch that show, man.
You don't watch Snowfall?
I told Ray, because I'm going to tell you why, though. I'm going to tell you why. Okay. I'm not hating. Right. You know, I usually hate.
Yes, you do. If it's not popular, you hate it, and it's then you'll watch it. Thing. Four seasons later, exactly. And then you'll say, "Oh, this is like that."
It's true, but this is not this situation. Excuse me.
Okay, so what's the situation?
I'm just late to the game, and I'm so many seasons behind. I don't feel like it feels like a lot of work.
It's not a lot of work.
How many seasons behind? How many?
So this will be the start of the sixth season.
That's a lot of work, man.
It's not.
That's a lot of work. How many episodes a season?
About 10.
That's not bad. Actually,
it's not bad at all.
That's not bad.
Actually, I started just to, you know, refresh myself. I started watching season 5. I rewatched season 5. I started, I think, like Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I'm almost done.
Wow.
So then.
You do that? You rewatch? You go back a season, watch the whole thing?
Yeah. I like to analyze certain tidbits I might have forgotten about in the storyline just to make it cohesive and it goes into the next season. So, I'm not going to make it through all of season 5 mm-hmm. because I think I'm on episode 9 mm-hmm. before I left to come over here.
Okay.
So in the last couple of days have been hectic, so I haven't had a chance to watch all of that. My plan was to get through all 10 mm-hmm. episodes of season 5 by yesterday evening, but that didn't happen.
All right, so question is Snowfall better than Power?
Yes.
Really?
In my opinion, yes.
Like, the ghost form of power or any form of power?
Ghost power.
Is better than ghost power, too?
Yes. In my opinion, yes.
Okay, I got to watch it. You're saying it's better than ghost power.
I mean.
Like, I like ghost power. Like, that's my guy.
I mean, at a certain point, like, the original Power became too.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Soap opera-ish. Yeah. It's like, what can we do now to stun the audience?
Yeah. Ghost Power.
Those two became too formulaic at a certain point.
There was so many. I'm not going to get.
Ghost Power. It was good. I mean, it was good for what it was worth.
Well, it's coming. You know, it's coming back with another season. It's coming up.
Book two
is when? Next week?
No, the 17th
of March. 17th of March. Yeah. That's what's up, man. I've been, you know, 50, props to 50, though. I'm in the BMF.
It's killing. Yeah.
I love it.
I love it.
I go back. So I'm now
is
now.
That so? That's one of the shows that you.
I love
you
it.
Caught? Did you catch it from the beginning?
From the beginning, I caught that from the beginning. Right. So I go back because you know Southwest. He out in the streets now for real.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find an interview with him. You know, I'm trying to find all the people. I found his girl because she was on. You seen the do interviews all folks from hip hop and even drug dealers or whatever.
DJ Vlad.
Yeah. Okay. So I saw the interview with DJ Vlad. With the chick who plays Lala.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
That was cool.
I haven't watched that.
Yeah, man. Like I'm all into. I saw the real Beast Lamar.
Yeah.
That dude crazy. The real one is crazy. You can see it. He's trying to play. He tries to be PC, but he's crazy. It fits. I'm gonna say that much. It fits to me.
So I don't know if you know. And before we.
Because
we
can,
yeah,
nah, we're getting
off subject. But you know, they also had like another documentary on it on Stars, right?
Yeah, so I watched that. I went through this whole rabbit hole. That's how I started, though. So I watched the documentary, I started looking on stuff on YouTube because I was just pressed. I just wanted to see.
You wanted to be as formed.
I want to know everything. I want to know everything, and because I wasn't, you know, it's wild because I wasn't. I'm not going to hold you. Like, I've heard about Big Meech, but I didn't know about Big Meech. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm only getting informed by Big Meech because of BMF. But I was like, there's more to this. Like, they're telling a story, but all of this can't be true. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, they give you the disclaimer that all of this isn't true anyway in the beginning of the
fiction.
Yeah, it's fiction, right? So then I go back and I'm wanting to see like all the interviews, put two and two together. The dude that plays Meech's homie, the one that the cops.
B. Mickey.
Yeah. That's I saw an interview with the real B. Mickey.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Vlad got all of them. He got all of them, bro. Gotta watch it, though, y'all. I'm telling you, it's dope, man. Hey, just search it on YouTube, bro. He has a whole bunch of them. Then I was on Freeway.
Rick Ross.
Yeah, I was on. I looked so, at his stuff, too.
Yeah, so basically Snowfall is based loosely off of Freeway Rick
really?
Ross.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to see that because I've been enamored with him, too. Yeah, when BET had the little American, I got enamored with him when BET had the gangsters. American gangsters.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that, like, it's a fictional representation of his life, but Franklin Saint, that character, is based off of Rick Ross.
Okay, I gotta check this out then. I'm gonna check it out. All right, man. I mentioned Amp Pyre Media earlier before we were talking about this whole like the whole gang life, BMF, Snowfall, 50 Cent. You already know what time it is. Power. Anyway, Amp Pyre Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN, Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Make sure to let's try that again. Make sure to subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. This show could be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Hey, also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Commanders hiring Eric Bieniemy as their new offensive coordinator at 8:20 as part of HBCU Corner. We'll discuss the rise of MEAC men's basketball. Finally, we'll talk about Ryan Garcia and Javonte Tank Davis. They both signed the fight for April 15th. All right, we'll see.
All right, last Friday, the Washington Commanders hired Super Bowl champion offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. What did you think about that hiring? I want to know from two perspectives.
Go ahead, bro.
One, as the fan, and two, as you who does this. What do you think? So or are they one and the same?
Kind of. I thought it was great for the organization to get a good guy like Eric Bieniemy. I don't want to be redundant. I think everybody has most folks with common sense have the overall opinion that this dude should have had a head coaching job. So I'm going to put that out there. Like, I believe that it's unfair for him to take an OC job. He should have a head coaching job. I believe that. Like, I'm for that. And I think it is unfair that he has to go to another team to prove it, right? To prove that he can be a head coach. Like, because he can scheme up good offense by himself, knowing even though he's with Andy Reid. And we've seen examples, and we said this before, we've seen examples of Eric, of other folks under the Andy Reid tree be able to be good, successful head coaches, right? And not be able to, and not call plays because Andy Reid calls plays, right? We've seen that.
Yes.
So that's out there. But in terms of this team and for Eric Bieniemy, he's getting a bump in pay. He's getting a multi-year deal. He didn't have that in Kansas City.
So a two-year deal is reported.
Yeah, but a multi-year deal. Had never had that in Kansas City. He's the assistant head coach. He gets to bring in his own staff. He has full autonomy of his own staff. So he has a lot of control within that offensive side of the football. You can honestly say that he's the head coach of offense. If you have that thought going into the season, I think it's fair to say that you can think that. So for him, for the unfairness of not being a head coach, this is the best case situation for him in terms of showing being able to run your own team or run your own side.
Okay. Now that look and that point was for me to give.
Yeah,
my thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because okay. yeah, not just me. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
No, I get it. I get it. I stated last week kind of my, but my opinion. I had very strong thoughts that why should Eric Bieniemy have to, after 5 years, being a part of a staff that's gone to five straight AFC championships, games, three Super Bowls, winning two of those Super Bowls, that he has to take, in my opinion, it's a promotion from the standpoint of responsibilities and title. But if you're asking me, it's a demotion in circumstances. And I only say that because, one, it's we don't know what's going to happen with ownership. Mm-hmm. Two, you certain aspects, particularly the quarterback position, it would be fair to say it's a downgrade.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, not fair. That's a guaranteed downgrade.
Coming from Patrick Mahomes to Sam Howell.
Yeah.
And three, everything that surrounds this organization has kind of gone on over the past couple of years. So I think from that perspective, it's kind of a demotion in the work environment, right? But, you know, ultimately he's getting a chance. And if you don't agree, you know, feel free to.
No, I'm not going to let you. I got to let you talk first. Yeah.
No, if you don't agree, go ahead.
I think under Rivera, with him running the ship, in terms of the environment of the team, it's different from pre-Rivera, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about outside, like when we were talking about the scandal, whatever. And to be honest with you, there is going to be a new owner. Like, so that's the thing. There will be a new owner. It's pretty much 90, if you look reports, it's 90%. Well, he's going to be a new owner. The chances are quite high. If you want to gamble, gamble on that. You know what I'm saying? Chances are quite high that they're going to have a new owner. So I don't think that the environment is going to be an issue for him to coach. It's going to be to be successful. I just feel like when you look at what he has, just off weapons alone, right? You mentioned the quarterback. It's all about the quarterback. But there's a quarterback to me that has potential, like Sam Howell has potential. Not to say that he's not Patrick Mahomes. You know, he's none of that. But he does have weapons even around Sam Howell. You got Terry McLaurin. You got Jahan Dotson. You got Curtis Samuel. You got Brian Robinson. You got Antonio Gibson. You have so many weapons to even make life easier for a young quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying there are things for him to be successful on this team. There are other teams he could have went to with no weapons that could have been far worse.
Well, let me say – okay, well, let me backtrack. A less stable situation.
Yeah, okay.
A less stable situation.
Very good point. Very good point.
But, you know, he's determined to be a head coach. And this is – look, if he makes Sam Howell look like there are 32 quarterbacks in the NFL, if Sam Howell ends up from a rating perspective and a performance perspective that we all see from our eyes as the 17th best quarterback.
Oh, man.
That's
– But I'll say this, too, add to this, though. To your point, like how bad was their offense last year? Average about 17 to 18 points.
Yeah, no, this is what I'm saying. Like for some reason believe that Sam Howell is at least an average, a competent starting quarterback, being a fifth round draft pick who started one game, who's undersized, I think he will have done a lot. He will have surpassed what people's expectations, especially if this team averages about 22 points a game.
And this is my thing about even Sam Howell. Like, I feel like the whole Sam Howell people. Sam Howell, if he came out early, would have been a first-round pick. He was. He was rated first-round pick. All his weapons left. Yeah, he started. He just ran the ball more as the quarterback. He ran the ball more. Still put up good numbers. North Carolina's best quarterback ever. Best quarterback in terms of stats.
No, the quarterback they had this year.
Oh, well, but I'm saying when he came out, he was. But and even in this draft, that draft, a lot of people still had him rated second round, third round. At the latest second round, they thought Washington got him at value supposedly at the fifth round. Just saying that, and in the last game of the season, he played pretty well. The last game of the season, he played well. I mean, he played well.
Okay, let's be honest. Yeah. Outside of the one touchdown, that first pass.
That's not it. He threw the pass to Terry, dropped. He threw a bomb on stride to Terry. He had like 4 or 5 wild pass plays. Real talk, bro. Real talk.
Okay.
Just saying, it wasn't a bad game. It was very, for a dude that's played one game this season, didn't get all the reps to play that way, and in comparison to the dudes that were playing over him, he was solid.
Okay, so answer this question. Fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Eric Bieniemy is successful if.
If Eric Bieniemy is successful, if Washington can average 20 to 25 points.
Okay.
To me, I think he's successful. He's better than what you had prior, and you know that you're on the come up. Because if you have the defense that they put out there with a guy, now you have an offense who can score a respectable NFL, can be a respectable NFL offense. You should be a better football team because you were able to be what 8-8-1 with a horrendous offense.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like it wasn't. That's not an NFL offense. I don't care what. That's not an NFL offense. Period. Like in today's NFL, modern NFL, where they allow you to score. Like you know what I mean? Like their penalties are advantageous for an offense. You know what I mean? Like, and you can only drum up about 18. You have games you can score only 18 against subpar defenses, though. Not even elite defenses, against subpar defenses. That says a lot to me. So I'm just saying, like, anything that if the enemy can get them to score 20 to 25, oh, he's winning.
Okay.
You know what I mean? George has a comment. We'll read this real quick on the chat. Right. George in the chat says, if Sam Howell has a good year, 3,500-plus yards, 20-plus touchdown passes, less than 10 interceptions, and Washington wins 10-plus games, does Ron Rivera move upstairs and Bieniemy become the head coach in 2024?
Well,
George, someone on Twitter came up with that scenario for him. Go ahead.
George, you came up. You took my question.
Did he really?
Yeah, because my next question was, okay, let's say this team, there's rumors that Ron Rivera isn't long for coaching this team.
It's
right?
Coaching life.
It's coaching life, right? He's essentially the chief football operations czar, right?
Yeah.
So everything runs through him. He makes the decisions with regards to football operations,
yes,
correct?
If sure. that, if yeah, that's, you are right,
that's
bro.
The power structure?
You okay. are right.
And you've alluded to this in one of our text messages where you believe that Eric Bieniemy may have come here with a wink, wink, nod handshake.
I believe it.
That Ron Rivera may eventually ascend to the front office, and this could possibly be Eric Bieniemy's team.
Yep.
Do you think that is still in play, or do you think that is? Do you think for now that's something that fans and followers of this team shouldn't even concentrate on? They should just concentrate on Eric Bieniemy doing a great job.
I think that is in play. But I think fans need to concentrate on Eric Bieniemy doing his job, though. I do think it's in play, though. Mm-hmm. I think it's in play because it's okay. Let's go back. Let's go into the past, right? Let's go into the past a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Saying there is a new owner, right?
Yes.
He's not married to Ron Rivera as a coach. He's not. In the past, when Snyder came to D.C., North Turner was the coach. He inherited North Turner. He was not in love with North Turner. And North Turner took the team to the postseason. They won a playoff game. They beat Detroit. And then they played Tampa, lost to Tampa, blah, blah, blah. He didn't like Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson.
He liked Jeff George. You know what I'm saying? So he's not enamored. So the new owner, my point is that the new owner will not be enamored with Ron Rivera, especially if you've seen what Ron was doing prior to him being there. If you're buying this team, you're doing your research. You're doing your due diligence. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this, though. If he's not enamored with Ron Rivera,
mm-hmm.
Why would we think
that he would keep?
He would keep. He would keep.
I won't get his whole staff. Or you talk about him as in the front office.
He would keep him in the front office and his staff.
I can't guarantee that's gonna that he will keep Rivera. I think the safest person, in my opinion, is Bieniemy.
Not MAGA Jack.
Huh? Well, maybe. Let's keep the buck. Maybe, dog. I can't even hold you. Maybe. Hey, I can't. Yeah, I won't even lie. I won't even lie to you. On Twitter, About the move, my man Commander J. Dilla, Premier Wonder, says, love the move. I believe he is more impactful than given credit, and he will show that. Andy Reid mentioned how huge EB was for them in the second half, post game for the Super Bowl. That's because those fake jet motions where the receiver reversed back to the outside were his idea. I think Will, you mentioned that last week, right? Yeah. So yeah, I agree. I think I don't like. I guess that's my thing that when we talk, we can talk about a little bit. I don't like how some of these folks out the pundits.
That's where I was going.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you go with it.
Okay,
bro.
So over the last couple of days, there have been some criticism, right? Yeah. One of the criticisms was from a former player, LeSean McCoy, mm-hmm. who has some sharp criticism about Eric Bieniemy, where he specifically stated that the pass game was all Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Andy and Eric Bieniemy is essentially a glorified running back coach who's acting as the offensive coordinator, right? So you've had that criticism. Then you've also had some criticism from the pundits who stated, and some people who are close in NFL networks, or not networks, but close in NFL circles. Circles, right? Who stated that Eric Bieniemy isn't involved in the design of the offense and hasn't called the plays. What do you, as a follower of the team and also someone who does this, what do you think about that?
Look at the source. That's all I'm saying. Look at the sources. Like when we do anything in life, we write papers, we do this. Look at the source and look at the background. Look what Shady McCoy said prior to him leaving Kansas City. And then you're there for 1 year. So how much intel do you get from that 1 year, right? Let's be honest with you. Things change after year to year, right?
Right.
So you don't even know after that. Maybe that year you could be factually right for that 1 year. You could. But who's to say after that year something changed, right? Patrick Mahomes came out and said Eric Bieniemy did a lot for him and you said this on the show last week that Andy Reid credited him for this, what happened in the second half.
And
that was a lot of throwing the ball. I didn't see a lot of it wasn't a lot of running the ball. What's his name, young boy number 10, Pacheco ran the ball well, but they were referring to those red zone plays. That looked like passing plays to me, right?
Right.
But you also had people who stuck up for Bieniemy. You had Tyreek Hill came out there and spoke up for Bieniemy. Tyreek Hill is one of the more influential playmakers. Was one of the more influential playmakers on that team. He's a receiver, part of the passing game.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, look at the resources. I mean, what I don't like and what irks me, and I'm just gonna be off of the whole Commanders segment. What irks me, man, we only got a few of these brothers out here, man, trying to get this job and show themselves that they can be head coaches. And you're trying to tear this man down. It ain't off of actual what he can actually do or can't do. It's personal. It's personal. Because you are making it known how you feel. It is personal. And it's off 1 year. And you don't really have the knowledge to say to go that hard. You can say, preface it this way. In my one year, I didn't see him do that much.
Well, I will say that he did say during my time, his full statement was during my time there.
Yeah.
I did not see Eric Bieniemy being that involved in the pass game. So he did preface it by saying during his time there.
When he continued it made it seem like he just wasn't knowledgeable at all. You're right.
Yeah.
He did a lot of preface. He said that. He even prefaced and said that I do think he should be a head coach.
Yes.
But blah blah blah. It's like throwing you, you should, but you know what? I'm gonna give you this backhand slap though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because he knew exactly what he was doing. But go ahead.
So I mean for me, and I know we've run over time on our for this segment, I'll say this. A lot of coaches, let's see, Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
He became the head coach of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell, to my knowledge, had never called plays as an offensive coordinator. He was an offensive
coordinator. A little bit here. Like for here, the last 3 to 4 games he did here.
Okay, last 3 to 4
games. But it wasn't like, I know what you're saying though.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
I know when he went to LA, he did not call the plays because Sean McVay called the plays, right? Then we think of We think of Doug Peterson, who was under Andy Reid. He did not call the plays. Yeah. Matt Nagy, I know for one season, for half of a season.
He's involved in the
No, for half of a season, he did call the plays because that's when Andy Reid ceded play calling ability to him.
Yeah.
So there's a list of guys who've been offensive coordinators who haven't called plays. Zach Taylor being one in Cincinnati, who's gotten a head coaching job. But I'm not pleased with kind of the narrative that's going around.
Man.
Well, he's never called plays, but we've seen people who have been who've had the title of offensive coordinator go on to have success as a head coach, calling plays in other places, and this brother now has to come and be a offensive coordinator. And
but why are we even? You're right though, Bob. He has to be an offensive coordinator. But why are we even questioning him as an offensive coordinator doing it though? It's one thing.
Well,
it's already bad to your point. It's already bad to your point that it's screwing him for being a head coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. But this is his title from last year, and we're acting as if he can't do it here.
So the best example that I can give, and this pertains to us, right?
Yeah.
Let's say I go off and I say I have ambitions of doing my own podcast,
cool.
which we both know I clearly have no ambitions of doing.
Yeah, you have no ambitions at all
of doing that.
Yeah.
And someone says, have you ever written a show, topics and, you know, run sheet?
Yeah.
And I'll say, no.
Yeah.
But they'll say, well, you can't be a podcaster.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to your credit, you write the outline and you come up with the majority of the material that we talk about during the show. Does that mean I'm not qualified to go have my own podcast?
Nah, I mean, you're just as qualified.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
my opinion would be that you've seen me do it. I'm sure you've learned from it. You watched. I email you the scripts, right? The outline. So you're smart enough to come up with to tailor it to your own way, to your own style.
Yeah. Why people just automatically think because he's never called plays, he won't be successful or he can't do it.
Yeah, man. My man George said LeSean McCoy is bitter and twisted, and most of what he said should be taken with pounds of salt. My man Cornelius said Ron got to go. Regardless, I hope the new owner keeps Eric but releases Ron to the streets. And he also said Acho is a clown. He can go to hell.
Hey man, I'm not gonna go that. I'm not gonna be that strong.
I'm just saying, Acho trying to fit a whole different genre right now.
Well, I mean,
I hate, but you know how I feel about.
Yeah, I mean, I have my thoughts about people when given a microphone and given a platform and things of that nature.
Yeah, it's wild. I used to like Sam Acho, but then he's recently starting to. Is it Sam Acho? It's Sam Acho, right?
He's one of your people, right?
He's Nigerian. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your boy.
Yeah. Hey, me and Raven dying after that, you know, after your voice of the fake ass.
There's nothing fake about that.
Wakanda accent.
There's nothing fake about it. That's how I talk.
Hey, yo, I ain't messing with you, dog. Hey, yo, BYAC men's basketball has been very competitive. We'll discuss this as part of HBCU Corner. Our HBCU Corner segment after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
Straight out of ATL. Got young one chopping that thing, baby. Swiss beats. Full surface. Come on. Come on. Come on.
When I'm drunk in the club, I might just toss it. Block party in the hood, I might just toss it. Underground, downtown, I might just toss it. Give me the key to the city, I'ma lock it. They ain't gon' take me alive, and you can bet that. Hit them where the chest at, hit them where the neck at. Show me where the wrist at. They in the same building, living like a mess pack. 4 miles from where the deck at. Bet that, shout it, you and me gon' ride over to the other side. It's how these motherfuckers die. First make a prank call and get the kids out the house.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy and myself, Wole, and we are part of Ampire Media at amppiremedia.com.
To close out Black History Month, it's time for the HBCU Corner. In terms of men's basketball, the MEAC Conference has been competitive. You have multiple teams playing well and vying for the MEAC Championship, regular season championship. In your recent memory, has this been the most competitive that you've seen MEAC football? I mean basketball.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah, absolutely. You have the current top four teams all over 500 and who have good non-conference wins. This is going to be the first season in my recent memory that I can remember where four MEAC teams all finished the season with winning records. This happened. The season is over come next week. And Maryland Eastern Shore being one of those teams just makes it that much more intriguing because Maryland Eastern Shore historically has not been good. Morgan has had success. Central has had success. But also you got Howard, similar to Maryland Eastern Shore, has not been good in recent memory. And they finished over 500 last year. They're duplicating that success this season. And then, of course, you got Norfolk, which we all know what Norfolk brings to the table. So this is probably, in my time and following, just not just the MEAC, but in HBCU basketball in general, this is one of the most competitive seasons I've seen.
Let me ask you this, Ray. Okay. You said that this, first of all, how you doing, sir?
All right, brother. What's up?
You said this is, during your time, this has been one of the more competitive regular seasons that you've seen. For it to be successful from the standpoint of, you know, highlighting or a team bringing more notoriety to the MEAC, do you think that there needs to be two teams that come out of the MEAC, or do you think that a team who wins the championship needs to at least get past the first weekend of the NCAA tournament?
I'm going to say the first weekend because Norfolk beat Appalachian State in that opening round matchup a few years back, but it created no buzz. As a matter of fact, we had Coach Robert Jones on our show right after that, and essentially we were the only ones that wanted to interview him. If you look at what St. Peter's did, you see their coach, what happened with him. Shaheem Holloway got a new job. He was on every show on a freaking – sports, any sports network you watch, he was being featured or he was being interviewed because it was a big deal. They made the Sweet 16. So, yeah, not only do you have to make the tournament, you're going to have to survive that first weekend if you want to really bring notoriety to the conference.
No, I agree. I think this is the best the conference has looked in forever, man, like for real. Definitely in my memory, just because of the competition within, like, the four teams, you know, the four teams that are, like, top in the MEAC. You're talking about
– I didn't even mention Morgan, too.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about them. You're talking about, like, Howard, North Carolina Central, Norfolk, UMES. You know, these teams have been playing great basketball. You mentioned Morgan State just had a big win against Howard on Monday. So, like – and they're all now, they're playing each other, trying to battle for or jockeying for position for the MEAC tournament. I mean, Howard right now is number one. Morgan's Norfolk is two. UMES is three, and Central is four. But they're like Central's playing. I believe Central plays, they play Norfolk and they play Howard to end the season. I mean, two games before the season ends for them. So they have an opportunity to leapfrog folks. So, like, it is so competitive. And, like, we haven't seen that really, you know, the last some odd years going into MEAC play. Because usually when it goes into the season, there's like one dominant team or maybe two dominant teams. But now it's to a point that it's all wide open. Morgan State, they're in to me in that situation where they can represent the MEAC in the tournament. Or even for real, I'm trying to think of it's funny to say this, but Coppin had a big win. Like, who did Coppin beat, right? They beat
– Coppin just beat Norfolk.
Norfolk, right.
I want to talk about that, though, because to me – that has kind of an asterisk, and I'll explain why after.
But I'll say this: a Coppin last, I think last year or the year before last, they were still bad. Coppin got all the way to the MEAC final. I want to got to the MEAC final. I want to say it was last year, year before. So like they've shown that they are able to kind of have some tournament success. So there's always a team sometimes that throughout even the MEAC tournament, there's a team that kind of shocks some folks and gets themselves in a position to kind of upset one's dreams or whatnot. But what you want to say, Ray?
Two things is, first of all, the MEAC conference used to be so big, fellas, when we was in school. You had A&T, Bethune-Cookman, FAMU. A lot of times, those teams weren't good as well. Mm-hmm. So you would have a larger conference with a lot of teams that had bad records. Mm-hmm. Also, if you include Morgan, Morgan's 11-1. No, I'm sorry. Morgan's 9-1 at home. Central's 11-1 at home. UMS is 10-2 at home. Norfolk is 10-2 at home. Howard is 11-2 at home. These teams are defending home court. That's how competitive it is. So you typically lose on the road. If you look at all their road records, obviously they're not very good. But I mentioned the big win for Coppin, but Joe Brown was hurt in that game, and that really impacts my thought process moving forward for the MEAC tournament.
True. Joe Brown is definitely the best player in the MEAC. But yeah, when you look at – we'll go this route then.
Okay.
For naming all these squads we've talked about and listed, who do you have winning the MEAC?
Okay, so considering the injury to Joe Bryant, we were just rolling.
How long is he
you
out?
And myself, huh? Well, Coach Jones tweeted out today that he's fine, okay. But he only played him 17 minutes versus Coppin, and he was visibly injured to the point where Norfolk State Twitter went crazy. Like, oh my gosh, is he going to be okay? Mm. Not saying Norfolk State can't win without him, but he is the glue. I mean, at UMES, they had the UMES their first home loss. He was the driving force. I love Chris Bankston. We think he might potentially be a second round NBA draft pick, but he has a specific role. So if Joe Bryant isn't healthy going to the tournament, that is a problem for me. UMES Mamadou Fofana did not play. He was a key figure in terms of ball handling. Of course, Kevon Boyd's leading scorer is not playing. Morgan's down three starters. And I say all that to say that I feel like the most healthy team, the most talented team left out there is Howard, who currently sits number one. You got Shai Odom. You got Marcus Dockery, the Maryland transfer. Elijah Hawkins, who could be most improved MEAC player. Steve Settle, Jordan Wood, average height of that starting lineup for Howard is about 6'7", and they're all healthy. They play well at home, and they've also had some good non-conference victories, including one over Mount St. Mary. They also beat Harvard, and they played Kentucky pretty tough, although, of course, Kentucky opened that game up. So right now, because of health alone, I'm going to say that Howard has the edge heading into the MEAC tournament.
Ray, when is the MEAC tournament?
Oh, it's the 8th, March 8th.
March 8th through March 11th.
Where is it being?
Norfolk.
In Norfolk.
Okay, so that, I mean, if we just go based off of home records, not being played at Norfolk University.
No, it's Norfolk. It's Norfolk. You're right. No, we talked about this.
One would assume that Norfolk, even though they're number two in the division now, would have a better shot at winning this based off of home records. Would you agree?
If Joe Bryant is healthy, I told Wole as we were heading to Maryland to shore that Norfolk is the top dog. And until somebody knocks them off, I don't see them losing. I still feel that way, but with the injury to Joe Bryant, I don't think that home court matters as much, as evidenced by Coppin just beat them at Norfolk. And Coppin is second to last in the conference right now.
Yeah. So my thing is that I favor Norfolk. If you're telling me, he has time to get healthy. Like he does have time to get healthy. So I don't know the injury. So you know what I'm saying. So I can't give you a definitive answer because I don't know the injury. If coach says that he'll be fine, and it's he has 2 weeks to get ready for it. I mean he can sit him for the next 2 weeks and have him ready for the tournament. And you have a healthy Joe Bryant, it doesn't really matter who you play in terms of – because like Will said, it's still home court advantage. So you can rest him and still have a healthy Joe Bryant ready for the tournament. So if that's the case – but also I would like to say – I'll say a team that – because I looked at the schedule and who they played and who they competed with. And I'm actually – Ray, I looked it up and I was doubting Central. Yo, Central was competing with everybody. Like everybody,
Central plays so hard.
Yeah, everybody. So,
but they don't know how to close, so I can't pick them.
Yeah,
sorry.
They compete with everybody. LSU, they had LSU on the schedule. It was a close game. Somebody trying to call me on my actual phone. They LSU. Who else they had on their schedule? I have to look it up. But most of the teams, even similar teams that DeShore played, that Howard played. Those teams that they were getting blown out, Central was in. They lost maybe probably by 10 or 8 points. So they're tougher than I thought. They're tougher than I thought.
That's a good point. And Central also has a key injury to one of their ball handlers.
Yeah.
Coach told us that after the game, Lavelle Moten, that they are missing another point guard, which hurt them because UMS presses them and they start to falter down the stretch. I watched Central blow a 15-point lead to Howard in Howard. Yeah. But I'll say this. Norfolk, with a healthy Joe Bryant, lost to Howard at home. I know it was a controversial call at the end, but Howard was right there. They play next week. That's going to be a good measuring stick.
Yeah,
I understand the home court advantage. And, again, I'm just being real. I think Norfolk is the team to beat. I'm concerned about Joe Bryant. I know 2 weeks is a lot of time. We don't know the exact nature of the injury.
Yeah.
At the same time, that's still a concern if he's not 100% for me. But I think to some level, I'm going off of how Howard is now trending in the right direction. They're trending upwards.
Yeah.
They nearly beat Notre Dame last season. Wole, you pointed out that I know they lost one of their best scorers in Kyle Foster, but at the same time, they have a better record this season without Kyle Foster. Yeah. And Dockery, a Maryland transfer, that dude is hooping. And Shai Odom could have went to any Division I program probably in the country coming out of Tierra Canyon.
Yeah.
So they have the team to upset Norfolk in Norfolk. They've already done it.
Yeah.
And that's why right now, especially considering health, I'm gonna go Howard, even though my mind tells me Norfolk if they're healthy.
Yeah, so. And also, you know, the Shore, I'm gonna give my school some credit. The Shore has probably the best win of all the conference outside the conference. If you break down all the teams
right now. Oh, that Temple win, that is truly the biggest win. That stands out.
Because you look at all the other teams that these teams that in the MEAC, they've beaten some teams with a name, but if you look at the records of some of these teams that we've all mentioned, it's been a down year for those teams. But when you look at that Temple win for the Shore, Temple's 15-13. It's not the greatest year. They're not having the greatest record in the world, but they beat Houston this season.
Houston.
Mm-hmm. One of the best teams in the country. So, like, that UMES has probably, like, the best win out of everybody in the conference in terms of outside of the conference.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead, my bad.
No, go ahead.
You good?
No, okay, I was saying also.
If Norfolk is knocked off, UMES, a healthy UMES has a chance.
Yeah, because they're
Norfolk is the kryptonite. Go ahead.
Also, you got more – I mean, look at Morgan State, too. Morgan State got scorers, too. You got Isaiah Burke, who's dropping about 18, 19 a game. They have scores. Their secondary scorer, Malik Miller, is dropping about 17. So they have players to score. What you do need, I think, in the MEAC, sometimes teams are offensively limited. If you got guys who can give you 20 a night, close to 20 a night, that's scary for conference play. And we all, I mean, Ray, man, you know, coach out there at Morgan State, he's one of the better coaches in college.
Malik Miller is injured. I don't think Malik Miller is going to be back based off
his coach. You don't think
Coach Fly is the commentator for Morgan State, and he pretty much said Malik Miller is out for the foreseeable future. Now, I don't know
for the tournament, though,
again,
right?
what exactly that means. Okay. See, we don't get the injury updates, of course, like the bigger D1 programs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, health is going to play a huge factor. I just mentioned all the teams that are at the top, except for Howard, are dealing with health problems right now.
Yeah, sure. Good point, though. Very good point, man. Very good point. But, like, anyway, this is still an exciting time because we can talk about this. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we're talking about the MEACs. We talk about Morgan State. We talking about UMES. Wilton. We talking about our schools, bro.
Yeah, I know.
This is dope, man. Hopefully, man. Like, hey, hopefully, one of our schools make it to the dance and do some damage.
Look, I'm just hoping. That
I'm cool with it being Howard.
Ray went to Howard now. Like, you could tell. You could tell Ray's a
Howard. No, it's not that.
I'm just hoping that whatever team makes it to the field of 68 advances past the first weekend. And it'll just be because, you know, what we saw with, you know, Prime and Jackson State. And then, you know, that hype feeding off of, you know, MEAC basketball and a team from the MEAC conference making it past the first weekend. I think it's the momentum, as you like to say. That
we just said that. I remember right now we used the word momentum about something.
About this show, bro.
The show.
I mean, I want to say this too, because if you check my article out, I'm gonna make a plug.
Yeah, plug that shit. Yeah,
Sports Illustrated. The teams typically playing their best basketball this time of year, a la Kemba Walker, UConn squad. Also, what's the other point guard? We had him here with the Wizards for a while that played for UConn too.
Shabazz
Napier. Okay, they won a title too with Kevin Ollie as coach. When you're playing your best basketball this time of the year, you're dangerous. And right now, Central is the only team riding a winning streak. And like you said, they play everybody tough, no matter what conference you're from. So Central is somebody to watch out for. I don't like, again, in the tournament, you have to finish game.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So that's my concern with them. But they are hot right now, and it's close to March. So,
yeah.
Again, it just adds to the level of intrigue for our schools. And the fact that the conference is on the smaller side, to me, makes it even that more exciting.
I will add this too, in terms of like the Central argument, that the thing that will help them out in that case, in that situation about blowing a lead, if they did get a lead, is that they would be the underdog. They'd be the supreme underdog, and usually when you're the supreme underdog, that other team gets tight too. They get super tight, so they start to press.
Well, A, we talked about this the other day off the air, and we'll see. You can agree. You don't even have to watch college basketball out here, people who are listening, to know that there are many teams in the top of the field that are going to just knock your socks off. Like, there's no team that is head and shoulders above the rest at this stage of the game. It's just not. Typically, you got your powers, Kansas, Duke, Carolina, who you know they're going to win that first round game by 30 plus points. That's not the case this year.
Yeah.
So the MEAC definitely has a chance. And while we are making an argument based on what we're saying now, the MEAC could qualify for a 15 seed, my man.
Yeah, if they, yeah. But
and they could be the number two seed.
They could be number two. Yeah, they can be the number
two. They could be the Houston. They could totally be the Houston.
I don't know about being Houston. Because Houston.
They could.
Well, you know what? Like you said, anybody can beat.
If Temple beat Houston and UMBS beat Temple,
there you go. There you go. That's true. That's true. Hey, George posted on Facebook, said still banking on that championship. He's talking about Norfolk. I guess Norfolk.
Yeah, of course.
How that Robert Jones and Norfolk State have. Yeah, so yeah, Norfolk, like to George's point, like Norfolk State and Robert Jones, they're legit, man. They're the boogeyman. He's the boogeyman in that conference.
They're the conference bully, yeah, baby. That's what they are.
It is what it is. But all right, man. We gotta talk boxing, man. Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis fight is going down April 15th. In Vegas, they signed a deal. Hopefully, I'm glad. I'm so happy. We finally get to have that mega fight. We'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces on Empire Media, empiremedia.com. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, myself, Will, and Ray Jeezy was just on this last fire last fire segment that we had, but he is not with us in the studio today, and we are part of Empire Media. All right, Gervonta Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia have signed contracts for an April 15th fight in Vegas at 136-pound catch weight. Are you surprised that the fight will happen, Wole?
I'm not surprised. I thought they were doing a lot of smoke on Twitter, on social media, like some real smoke. It wasn't like some of the BS that we see with some of these other dudes with the temperature wasn't like Bud and Earl. It was like you could tell both dudes really wanted this fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it came at a place of respect to us at a certain point. When it looked like it was definitely going to happen, then you had people throwing shots. But there was a sense of respect. That's when I knew, like, oh, they want this fight to happen. It wasn't anybody throwing shade at one side. It was like Ryan came out and said, me and Tank want this fight. It wasn't like, oh, one person's scared or whatever. And that's when I had the vibe, like, okay, they want this fight to happen. Like, they want this thing to go down. So I'm not surprised. I'm just happy. I'm happy we're going to get this.
Looking at me because you want me to talk.
Yeah, go ahead, bro. I'm looking at you because I know you're going to say something.
No, what's today's date?
It's February 22nd.
February 22nd. And the fight is what?
April 15th.
Okay. So that gives you, what, about 30, 35, 40 days to promote a fight.
Yeah.
If this is supposed to be a mega fight, usually mega fights are signed 90 days out and you're given a window to promote the fight to make it as big as possible.
Yeah.
I say that to say this.
Yeah.
Sometimes the business of boxing gets involved in what's good, what's best for boxing, gotcha. Right? Mm-hmm. And if this is going to be, if this is truly to be one of those generational mega fights,
yeah.
one of those fights between generational stars,
yeah.
it needs time to bake, especially okay. in today's climate.
So you want to be longer?
Well, I would have hoped that if you're going to sign the contract
yeah.
last week.
Yeah.
I think it was officially announced last week.
Yeah, yeah.
That the fight would have been in May.
Yeah.
Or possibly, yeah, May, towards the end of, middle of May,
that's
or
sure.
Or possibly June, right?
Cinco de Mayo, maybe they didn't want to do Cinco de Mayo.
I'm not going to do Cinco de
Mayo.
No,
they didn't want to.
I don't think any promoter is crazy enough to do Cinco de Mayo.
Well, because
you, no, not Ryan Garcia, because you have Canelo, and you know that Canelo's
yeah,
going to fight.
That's true.
That's his day, right? Yeah. Without officially being his day, we know that it's his day, right? So I would have liked to have seen the fight pushed out to possibly
June
or late May, preferably June because, you know, we just in this economic climate we're in where inflation is so high and things, people are being squeezed by everyday purchases just to get by on a day-to-day basis,
yeah.
people aren't going to necessarily pony up $89
oh, I agree.
To watch a fight, right? Well, let me ask you this question. Would you, given that you, you're a fan of boxing.
I am. And, I love boxing.
Would you pony up the $79 or $89 to watch this fight on pay-per-view?
If I had to?
If you, let me preface it with that, with this.
Yeah.
Given, what is it, 45 days, 45
yeah.
days notice.
Yeah.
Are you open to ponying up the $85 to watching this fight?
It would be a fight that I would pay for. It would be a fight I'd pay for. I do think it's a big fight for different reasons, though. But I think it's more of this generation of setting up boxing fights that this happens a lot, though. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they don't allow things to build up like it used to be. And it's like, okay, we can do it this date. It doesn't, like, they want to prolong it, like, for me, like, I agree with you. Like, everything you said, I agree with. But I feel like a lot of boxers do this, though. You know what I mean? Like, the turnaround's quicker than usual. You know what I'm saying? Well, maybe they, I mean, maybe, I don't know. Because I feel like certain fights, the turnaround is quicker. Like, when Bud fought Porter, that was quicker than I thought.
What do you mean the turnaround is quicker?
Like, I felt like he had, like, 3 months of training, and then they fought. I could be wrong, though. I felt like it wasn't.
Well,
they weren't building like you said for promotional standards. Like, it wasn't like the build up. Like when Floyd fought Oscar, you had time to build that whole thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, it was time. They let that thing marinate before it happened.
I think it's a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Usually when we have a quote unquote super fight,
right?
You usually have both of the guys who fight. They'll usually fight like a week apart or maybe a month apart.
True.
And you'll start to, you know, usually the promotion will start after that fight in the ring where, you know, they'll call out the opponent. They'll say, I want this guy next, right? You don't have that because Ryan Garcia hasn't fought in a while. Ryan Garcia was out of the sport for a while because of his mental health issues.
Yeah.
And now I think the last time he fought was in 2022. I want to say.
Yeah, let me check that out.
I want to say in the summer, the summer 2022. So he hasn't taken a tune up fight per se going into this Gervonta Tank Davis fight. Now Tank Davis, we know, fought in January in DC, and had a devastating knockout, which for most people it only heightens their. Heightens their sense of wanting to see him fight again.
Uh-huh.
Now we know that the one medium where these both fighters are extremely popular is on social media.
Yeah.
Right. Both of these guys have an excess.
July.
Yeah, July
16th.
Yeah, July of last year. Correct.
Yeah, last year.
Yes. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, just how this how this the anticipation for this fight with a what like 45-day window to promote it in this economy. So
Texted me. He said that the networks haven't signed yet. Only the fighters, which is holding up the promotion and press conference.
He said the networks haven't?
Yeah. He said that the fighters have signed it. The networks.
My understanding is the networks have signed it.
Okay. All right.
My understanding is Showtime will distribute the fight.
They will.
If there's a rematch, and the only way a rematch could be activated is if Tank Davis loses the fight, then the Zone would carry the fight on pay-per-view.
Oh, Tank Davis loses the fight. Oh, okay, for the rematch.
There's an automatic rematch. Yeah, if Tank loses the fight, then it's an automatic rematch, and then Golden Boy becomes the lead promoter, and the fight would be distributed by the Zone.
Okay.
In the U.S.
Okay.
Anyway.
I mean, I would like to, to me, I'm with you, though. I would have liked more time for this fight to be promoted because I do think this fight could be big. And since it goes to my next question, in terms of hype, and we got to go back to that first fight, though.
Which first fight?
Of Fury and Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
Which fight hype is bigger, this fight or Fury Wilder? Because the only reason why Fury Wilder was hyped even more because that's because of the first fight.
Fury Wilder was a much bigger fight because, and I'll tell you why, because you have a guy who's considered an international superstar in Tyson Fury.
But was he that big when he was an international superstar before the fight?
He was the lineal champion.
Yeah, but he was bigger. I felt like he was bigger after that fight, though. I felt like he was.
No, he.
Right. From, I mean, it's fair.
I'm just giving you. This is my.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Tyson Fury is an international superstar. He's huge over in the UK, right? And he started to develop. And you remember prior to the Wilder fight, he had that knockout on regular TV on ESPN.
He did,
and he started singing. He started singing, and that's the thing that kind of made people more interested. Outside of his performance, his personality is the thing that made people more interested in seeing him fight. Mm-hmm. And then you had Deontay Wilder, an American heavyweight.
He was popular at that time.
Who was extremely popular at the time. And then it was just, they were on a collision course and it created the hype for a huge heavyweight fight. And we all know that historically, the fight that the general public wants to see is a heavyweight fight. Yeah. Even though over time you start to see the statistics support that the guy, you know, welterweight, middleweight, particularly when it's Floyd, has been the fights that have made history from a pay-per-view buy.
All right, so I've had the poll on Twitter. It says, is the hype for Garcia versus Tank bigger than Wilder Fury 1? 71% says yes, 29% says no. I don't know. It's hard to go back to that. I'm just excited for this fight. I wasn't excited for Fury Wilder, so I'm biased. I wasn't excited for one.
You wasn't?
Nah.
Why not?
I'm not a big Wilder fan, though. I don't like his boxing at all. You know what I mean? And Fury, I had Wilder winning one, mentally, before the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Wilder's going to win because I just wasn't. Like, I wasn't a Fury dude either. You know what I'm saying? So I just wasn't big on either, to be real with you. But I ended up having more respect for Fury after the fight, though. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, yeah, he boxes for real. Like, this dude can box. But I wasn't big on the fight. But I was not the biggest. Like, I'm not the biggest Wilder fan because, to me, I'm not for somebody going for the home run consistently like that. You know what I mean? You got to set your box. You got to set somebody up before you go for the home run. But yeah, that was me. But that was me though. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I was at a fight party, and a lot of people were pro Wilder. They were excited for the fight. You know what I'm saying? Like to your point, people were amped for the fight. For me, I'm using my biasness though. Like this fight, I want because I feel like there's damage to be had in this fight. There's a hype because the two dudes are knockout dudes, and that's what they about. But go ahead though.
Let me ask you this: so your hype, what gets you hyped about this fight is their fight, is the fighters' personality or the collision of styles.
It's a collision of styles, man. This style, to me, this is like the ultimate puncher's fight. The ultimate puncher's fight. And not to say that these dudes don't have skill, because Ryan has quick hands. He does. And Tank and box. Like, I've seen it. Like, Tank and box. When he was hurt, I can't forget. I want to say, was it Cruz he fought when he was hurt? He hurt his hand? That wasn't Cruz. I forgot who he hurt his hand, but he was still able to show his boxing skill. I can't think of the fight it was.
Gamboa?
No. Was it Gamboa? I think it may have been Gamboa. Was it Gamboa?
I think it may have been Gamboa.
I think you're right. It's Gamboa. So, but he was able to show his boxing skill. So I had more respect for Tank. You know what I mean? Like saying that, oh, in terms of his boxing skill, his power is real. You know what I mean? It's real. So, but I just like that these two dudes are going, it will go for it.
Let me ask you, and I know we're coming up on time, but let me ask you this question. We all know, because it's been highlighted, that Tank Davis has gone through some legal issues, right? There was the issue in Baltimore where it was a hit and run.
Yes,
then there was also the issue with his child's mother. And then he also has some promotional issues, it was seen, with him and Floyd Mayweather being on the outs. Yeah. Do you think with a 45-day window until the fight, that's too much mentally to going on around him, and it could potentially lead to a disaster because he won't be focused?
I think he can get hit. I think he can lose his fight just off it alone. You know what I'm saying? If you're not focused, it's going to be a detriment to him. But it, to me, it's just a competitive fight, period. I know a lot of people are like, oh, Ryan, he's going to get knocked. He's going to get his block knocked off. But I think if you watch, and I don't want to break down the fight, cause we're going to do this later. You know what I'm saying? When it comes close to fight time. But I'll just say this. Both of these dudes have shown the ability to get hit by other people with lesser power. You know what I'm saying? So now you're going to go into a fight with two dudes with dynamic power. I just know, like, if Ryan has his head out there on Tank, he's getting his block knocked off. But if Tank fights Ryan like he fought the dude that Gary been trying to fight. He has no power though, but he can box. He fought him early, but he knocked him out. Oh, Tank knocked the hell out of him. Mahrez? Was it Mahrez?
Linares?
He fought. That was Linares. Having a moment. No, Santa Cruz. There you go. Sorry. Santa Cruz. If he fights Garcia like he fought Santa Cruz, Ryan can get him. Because he was open for Santa Cruz. I'm just saying it's a perfect fight because these two dudes have knockout power and you can't play with it at all. Like, you can't play with it. You know what I mean? And Tank, I would definitely put the odds I'd be in favor for Tank. I think Tank's going to get this. But it's going to be entertaining, man. It's that fight to me.
It's going to be entertaining. I think most of all, not only will this be a test of Tank's boxing skill and power, but it'll also be a test of his mental focus and mental fortitude, right? Like I said, there's so much going on with him that it'll be – I'm not going to say it's going to be interesting because it's not going to be interesting. This young man has some issues that he has to deal with regards to the courts, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that's interesting. But it'll just be a testament to his focus, right? Because we always hear of, like, how the elite athletes – block out, have the ability to block out everything that's going on around them and just focus on that one goal. So it'll be a test of him mentally and physically. So we'll see. We'll learn a lot about Tank Davis, and we'll learn about a lot about Ryan Garcia.
Real talk about both of them, for real.
You know, with this fight. And then ultimately one of the guys will ascend to a next level. Within the echelon of boxing.
Yeah, I mean, Tank is already, to me, darn near there. But I'm talking about in terms of pop culture and just being a boxer. He's darn near there. But I think it'll take him to another level if he gets this W, and especially the fashion he'll probably get it. But yeah, my man George said, glad it's happening, but it's disappointing that it's at a catchweight, okay. But it's disappointing that it's at a catchweight, okay.
I mean, that's what had to happen
for
the fight to happen, you know. So,
It is what it is. But I think it's gonna be an amazing fight, man. We've been blessed. We talk about this, man. We need people to make these fights, though. I know you're right, though. They should have pushed it back, and maybe they will push it back with all the stuff that you're talking about. I mean, maybe.
Well, no, because if I'm not mistaken, Tank Davis goes to sentencing for the case in Baltimore in May.
Oh, that's okay. So maybe they are trying to rush. They're trying to rush this.
Maybe they're trying to rush it because they don't know how that will play out in the court.
There you go. Good point. Hey, man, about the end of the show, man, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to The Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of The Urban Sports Scene, Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com, and this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amplifier shows as well as other great content. All right, man, it's been a dope show. Will T, good work, baby. You know how we do it. You know what I'm saying? Ray Jeezy, thanks for calling for HBCU Corner. You know we appreciate you, homie. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
Yadig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.